Tonight, I'd like to preach just about who you riding with. That's what I'm going to call tonight's sermon. Who you riding with, right? You know, first and foremost, let's just dig right into God's Word. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days, he did eat nothing." Man, can you imagine not eating for 40 days? Right? Can you imagine the hunger pains that Jesus faced? Can you imagine? I mean, some of you get so hangry that you can't go an 8-hour span without eating, right? And Jesus went 40 days. Can you imagine the hunger that he... I wanted to just paint that picture. It says, "And when they were ended, he afterward hungered." He was hungry. "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that is to be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into the high mountains, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it." You see, the devil's making false promises here, right? It says, "If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shall you serve." Amen. You may be seated today. You know, I like that word in the written word of God, Luke 4, 8, when it says, "Get behind me, Satan." Right? Get behind me, Satan. You know, sometimes you just have to claim it. Sometimes in life, you just have to say it. Get behind me, Satan. Because you have no power, you have no authority, you have no strongholds over my life no more. Get behind me, Satan. And that's what Jesus said to him. So if you can only imagine today that the devil himself tempted Jesus. Now, if you think that the devil won't tempt you, you're wrong. Do you hear me, young kids? Right? If the devil will tempt Jesus, the Son of God, how many of you think that he'll tempt you? Right? He'll tempt you. He'll put you in situations where, just like this, the devil was making false promises and he was tempting Jesus. And the thing I found so ironic is this, that the devil was tempting Jesus himself in the most vulnerable state. You see, he was 40 days without food. He was hungry. Right? Jesus was vulnerable. You know, he could have very easily said, "Yep, you're right. Make it be bread," and shown his divine glory to the devil himself. But he didn't say that, did he? No, he said, "Get behind me, Satan, for they don't live on bread alone, but we live on the word of God." You hear that, young kids, right? So we all know in here today that the devil comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Now, we see here in Scripture that the devil come to tempt Jesus himself when he was most vulnerable. Guess when the devil's going to try to influence you kids the most? When you're vulnerable. Do you hear me? When you're vulnerable. You know, it's amazing the propaganda and the agendas now that is against our youth from all aspects, from the government to our curriculum in school to everything that they have and they face. They try to derail our young kids. They try to derail you, feeding you lies. Why? Because they know that when you're young, you're impressionable. You're vulnerable. Do you hear me? You're vulnerable. I hate to say it, kids, but you're vulnerable. Right? You're impressionable. And the enemy himself knows that if he can destroy a generation, I feel the Holy Ghost. Because I believe that he's waged hell against this generation like never before. You know, we see a drug pandemic against this young generation like we've never seen. We see confusion like we've never seen, right? We see identity crisis in schools like we've never seen, right? You can flip on the TV and get so disgusted with the propaganda and all the gender strife and the gender problems. And it's nothing more than Satan himself trying to confuse and attack this generation. But God says he's going to raise up a generation that'll be for him. And I believe that's what we're doing here today. We're raising up a generation that can be able to stand up against the wails of the enemy, against his lies and against his schemes. And they'll be able to stand up and say, you know what? Get behind me, Satan, because you don't have no power over me. Right? Get behind me, Satan, because you don't have no authority over my life. Right? You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12, it says, let no man despise thy youth. What are you guys? Majority of you in here, and I know I'm speaking to a few older people in here too, but, you know, tonight's message was geared towards you. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Amen? In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith and in purity, till I come, give attendance to reading and the exhortation of the doctrine. You see, when I read that scripture, that means that you should be in church every Wednesday, or you should be in church every Sunday, right? Because it's saying here that you as a youth need to hear the word of God preached. It says, despise not, neglect not. The exhortation, that's the preaching of the gospel. Because Satan himself knows that if he can rob you from the truth, and if you don't know it in your heart, he knows that he's got you deceived. Do you hear me, young kids? But if you know the word of God, if you know the Bible, right, if you know it, then when the enemy comes, you can be like Jesus, right? And say, get behind me, Satan, right? You have no power over my life. Get behind me, Satan. And there's no doubt that he will tempt you and try you when you're young. Do you hear me, young kids? He's going to tempt you and try you. How many of you are 16 and over? If you're 16 and over, raise your hand. All right. So we got a few drivers in the house, right? Praise the Lord. How many of you are like 15 and you're like chomping at the bit to get them driver's license, right? You're like ready. You're anticipating it. You can't wait. Why is it that young kids, that they cannot wait to get their driver's license? Freedom, right? It's the freedom to make their own choices, right? And you think that when you get your driver's license that you can get a little independence and you can start making your own choices and you can do what you want, go where you want to go, with restrictions, of course. I mean, with good parents, with restrictions, of course. But when you turn 16, you get a little bit of independence. You get to start driving. You get to start making decisions of your own. Before 16, you're pretty much stuck to going where your parents go, right? Or where they'll allow you to go to, right? But when you turn 16, you get to make your own decisions a little bit. You get to say, okay, I can go here, I can go there, I can do this. You get a little freedom, right? And it's a little bit of independence. But with independence comes responsibility. You see, it troubles me as a youth pastor And I know it does Tony as a pastor, and I know it does our pastor, and I know it does all people in the ministry. It troubles us that as soon as a kid gets her driver's license, the first thing you'll see is, you know, it won't take too long, right? How many, okay, I said, how many of you are under the age of 16? Raise your hand. See, if you look around this room, there's way more kids under the age of 16 than there is over the age of 16. Now, if I look around that, now, does that mean that there's just not as many 16 and older kids? No, it don't mean that at all. It just means that they start making the choices on their own on choosing where they're going to go and what they're going to do, right? So with freedom comes responsibility. You hear me? With freedom comes responsibility. I want you guys as young kids to understand that when you get 16, you still need to be in the house of God. When you get 18, you still need to be in the house of God. When you get 25, you still need to be in the house of God, right? You still need to live for Him and not just run just because you're free, right? You think, hey, man, this is cool. I can go do what I want, right? Now, Psalms, verse number 1, chapter 1, verse number 1, says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. Now, remind you, I've talked about living for Christ. I've talked about despise not your youth. Despise not, hey, you need to be in church, right? You need to live with and having an influence of charity and purity and faithfulness as being young, right? So what happens when you get older? You see, when you get your driver's license and you start driving and you start making those decisions, now you get a car, right? And what happens when you get 16 and a half, Mackenzie, right? What happens when you get 16 and a half? You start, hey, wanting to take your friends out, go cruising around. I said 16 and a half because some people have to learn the hard lesson that you can't do that until you're 16 and a half, right? I know you're good now, but you wasn't then. I'm picking on her. Bring them up here for me, right? So when you get 16 and a half, now you can start riding with your friends. You can start picking where you're going to go, what you're going to do. I need a volunteer tonight. Come on up. Oh, this is going to be good. Okay. Okay, he says, let me be the driver, right? Okay, you're driving. Sit down, grab that wheel, right? He got a little bit of independence, right? He's saying, yeah, I mom's not on my back right now, right? I can go. He looked over. He's like, yep, right? She don't know every move I make, right? She, you know, I can do what I want. So it's like this. When you get 16 and a half and you get a little freedom under your belt and you get to make the decisions on who you're going to be riding with, right? Who you putting in that car with you? Where are you going in life? So if you could go anywhere in the world and drive there, where would you go? You go on vacation, you go anywhere you want. Where do you want to go? He says, Tennessee. All right. So if you're going to Tennessee, who are you taking with you? What posse? Who's going to be your co-pilot? All right, Kiana. Come on up. He's saying you're his co-pilot, your partner in crime, right? Oh, she says, I'm the DJ, right? You got, oh, come on, turn that radio on, right? All right, yeah. So now he's driving, right? He's cruising. He says, I got my co-pilot with, in this case, it's his sister, but when he gets a little older, it's probably not going to be, we hope it's not his sister when he gets a little older, right? He says, that's right. I don't want it being my sister when she gets a little older, right? But he's saying, hey, I'm gonna go somewhere. We're going to go on this trip. And now you get to pick the radio. So now he's giving her a little freedom too, right? She gets to choose. So he's putting himself around people to influence him in a way that's good or bad, right? How many of you know that if you turn the radio station on and you start listening to music, there's a pretty good possibility that you could be influenced in a pretty negative manner, right? And you think that's just the radio, right? But if you start influencing and putting that junk in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, guess what happens? Garbage in, garbage out. You hear me, young kids? You feed your soul with that garbage, guess what's going to come out of it? Garbage, right? So now you've picked your posse. Who are you taking with you? Two more people. Come on, quickly. Tanner and Danny, all right. Okay, Kiana, where do you want to go? Florida. See, already. You see the controversy here? He wants to go to Tennessee. She wants to go to Florida, right? Where do you want to go, Tanner? Wyoming. All right. Now we're going to Wyoming. Danny, where do you want to go? Anywhere in the world. Oh, she wants to go to Aspen. Huh? You don't have the car for that. It's not a four-wheel drive. It's only two-wheel peel here. Okay, I'm just teasing. I'm going somewhere tonight, right? Okay, so but the truth, what I just established here is this. He put himself around people, right, in his posse, in his group, in his clique. I mean, what do you guys say nowadays? I'm a little out. You say posse? It's your posse. It's your group. It's your clique. It's your gang. Yeah, okay, I'll get there. You just bear with me. It's your gang, right? So he put himself around this group. Now, what are you going to do? Where are you going? You got one wants to go to Wyoming. You got one wants to go to Aspen. You got one wants to go to Florida. Where are you going? He says, now I'm going to Aspen. This is a perfect example. Perfect, right? Oh, this even gets better. I mean, you couldn't lay it out any better, right? You couldn't lay this out any better. You see, he wanted to go to Tennessee. He wanted to do that. Let's say Tennessee, hey, they say, Tennessee Pigeon Forge is the Pentecostal Vegas of the world, right? I mean, that's what they say. It's true they say that, right? So I'm saying he wants to go to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. He wants to go someplace holy and righteous, right? And she's saying, I want to go to Aspen. Hell's holler, right? Now you're bearing with me here, right? I mean, it's true. We were all from this corner of the world. We all know what happens at Aspen, and none of it's any good, right? And I like four-wheeling too, but there's a lot of things that go on there that's not of God, right? But you see how easy it was for him to be influenced in a way to get him off track? Do you see it? You see, all it takes is you surrounding yourself with the wrong people. All it takes is you letting somebody else pick your radio station. Are you listening to me, kids? You know, how many of you know that the definition of influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something? It's the power to change or affect someone or something. It's the compelling force of action against a behavior or an opinion, right? You wanted to go to Tennessee. You wanted to do what was right. But you put yourself around people. Now, I'm just picking on you. I'm just picking, Danny. I'm just picking. No hard feelings. You put yourself around people that you know that could get you into trouble, that could take you down the wrong course or put you in the wrong place. Right? But it sounds like fun. Ooh, you guys are, this is making this too easy to preach today, right? I mean, it's the truth. So when you're in the driver's seat of your life, when you're driving your life, it's something that's more serious than going on a trip. Are you allowing yourself to be influenced in a way that is ungodly and unpure and untrue? Or are you allowing yourself to be influenced in a way that's it's godly and that's pure and true and holy? You see, you're at an impressionable age. You know, peer pressure is influencing from a member of one's peer group. He picked his group, his gang. He picked his gang who was going with him, right? A feeling that one must do the same thing as others. People of one's age or social group, in order to be liked, respected, or to fit in. I don't know how many kids that I've seen destroy their life because they wanted to fit in. Because they wanted to go along and fit in and be cool and be popular and think, oh, I'm going to be all this. So then they started doing things they shouldn't have ever even started doing. But they gave the steering wheel of their life to somebody else. And they said, now I'm not driving this ship. I'm being influenced in a way that they want to send me to or drive. Now you got a backseat driver, right? Now you're not even in course of your own life. Do you know every addict never set out to be an addict? Every alcoholic never set out to be an alcoholic. Nobody sets out to be that way. But when they surrendered their ability to drive their own car or to drive their own life, when they did that, that is when they let their peers determine where they're going to be. And if I can preach to you kids that say, don't give up the steering wheel only to one person, and that's Jesus Christ. I'll be a backseat driver to him any day, right? I let him control my destiny, right? I'm not driving my own ship into the ground. I'm not wrecking my car, wrecking my ship. You know, the best part about this message is this. Do you realize when you're driving that car and it don't matter how far you've gone? Okay, what happens when you get up at Haspen and you see that, oh, man, this is really probably not where I need to be. Man, everybody's drinking, everybody's partying, everybody's smoking dope. Everybody's doing, yeah, we're four-wheeling, we're slipping around, we're having all this fun, right? But now I'm no longer in control. I'm just trying to fit in with my group and my peers and my friends, and they're in control. And you're going along just to be popular, to fit in, right? So now what happens? You surrender it, your life will now be off course from your God-given potential and where God set out for you to be, because you gave the steering wheel of your life to some other person. You let somebody else influence you in a way that is not godly and not honorable. And when you give up your steering wheel rights, when you give up your driving force, when you give up and you get in the back seat, because now she's the driver. Okay, Danny, come on up. Now you get in the back seat. You're influenced. Now she's going where she wants to go. You might still be in the car, right? But you're not in control no more. You see, this is the perfect example of an addict, right? Do you think an addict never started out being an addict? Never started out being that way. They started out by giving the steering wheel up to somebody else to fit in. And then when they gave the steering wheel up to somebody else to fit in, now they're along for the ride. Do you hear me? Because the devil will take you along for a ride. He will steal from you. He will destroy your life. He will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to be. I've seen him destroy too many young kids' life. I've seen him destroy too many people's life. Now, the greatest thing about it is it's not over. You know, tonight you may have got off course. You may be on a back trail. It has been, right? When you wanted to be in glorious Pigeon Forge. But the thing about it is at any given moment, you can call on the name of Jesus. And you can say, Jesus, come into my heart. Lord, I love you. I honor you. Lord, I give you the steering wheel rights of my life, and I'm taking it back over. And the greatest part about it is all you have to do is stand up or kneel down, per se, and say, Lord, I repent of my sins, and I ask you into my heart. And I'm taking my life in a different direction than I've ever been before. Because now I'm no longer allowing those influences and those people that are around me to influence me in a way that is ungodly and impure. I'm taking it back. So what you have to do is stand up, take it back. Say, you know what, devil? Oh, she gave up easy. I was hoping for a little fight. Because most of the time the devil don't give up like that. Most of the time puts a little fight in it. Right? You know, when the devil tempted Jesus, he said, get behind me, Satan. Right? He said, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. And when he start doing that, the next thing you know what you have to do? You have to change the people you're running with. Yeah, kick them out. Get out. You're out. Come on, Danny, you're out. You're out. Now, come on. Kick them out. Kick them out. Come on. Yeah, come on, you're done. You put that junk music on the radio, that's done. I ain't listening to that trash no more. I ain't putting that into my soul. Yeah, you're done. You're done. Get out. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you have to kick out some friends. Sometimes you have to make a call and say, you know what, this may not be popular, but I can't put myself in that peer group any longer, right? He says, I got one posse that's going to say, we're going back to Tennessee. We're going back to the church. We're going back to serving Jesus and living for him, right? How many of you know that you can take that car and you can do a 180 and you can go back? You hear me, young kids? You can take that car and you can turn it completely around. Best part about a steering wheel is it goes in multiple directions. It don't matter how far off course that you are, or don't matter how far off course your life has gotten. It doesn't matter, because you can turn around at any given moment. You can say, you know what, now we're not going to Haspen. We're not going to the devil's playground. We're not going to do that. Now we're going to the Pentecostal paradise, right? New Vegas, right? We're gonna go where God's at. We're going to go back to church at 16 years old. You make a decision that says, you know what, I'm not going to allow my peers to pull me out of church. Or I'm not going to allow my job to pull me out of church. I want you to know something as young kids and believers. Okay? Listen to me real close. Because what happens after you turn 16 is when you turn 16, then it comes a car. Then it comes gas money, insurance. Right? It's the taste of reality of what happens. Then it says, I've got to be able to afford this. And then it says, I've got to be able to afford gas to run. And I'm going to have to get me a J-O-B. Right? So then you go out and you get a job. And you know what that employer, first thing they do, said, young kids, oh, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, because nobody else wants to work those times. And how many of you know that the workforce is so desperate for workers today, you can stand up and say, I won't work Wednesdays and I won't work Sundays, because it's not worth me losing my salvation and getting my life off course, because I'm not going to be to church on Wednesdays and I'm not going to be to church on Sundays. And if you let it out from the very get-go, when you get your first job, say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be, hey, I got church on Wednesdays and I got church on Sundays, and I'm going to be there. Because that's more important than what you're offering me, that little $8, $9, $10 an hour job. It's not that important. You may think it's important, but it's not that important. I promise you, coming to church, serving God is way more important than one night of work making $10 or $20 or even $30 in one night's time. It's not worth it. Because it's the little things then to get you off course. It's the little things to get you, you know, strayed. You know, Proverbs 3, verse number 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on thy own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall do what? Direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Guess what? There's sometimes you have to take back the steering wheel. You have to say, hey, I'm not going to be influenced by that no more. Right? "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes, but fear the Lord, and depart from evil." That's saying you need to do a 180, right? "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Means it's going to be beneficial for your life. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits and with all thy increase." Right? You know, 1 Corinthians verse number 10, or chapter 10, verse number 12, says, "Therefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." You see, I think sometimes as young kids, we think we got this, right? We think we can put whoever we want in our back seat, in our co-pilot. We think we can put whoever we want around us because we got this. I'm not going to turn out like them. I'm not going to do those things. I'm not going to partake of those things that they do. But I'm going to tell you something. I've said this for years. If you hang around a barber shop long enough, guess what? You're going to get a haircut. You hear me? If you hang around the wrong people long enough, guess what? You're going to do what those people do. It's a given. You know, Proverbs, it says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Be not deceived. I'm saying tonight, be not deceived. Every one of you said here earlier yesterday, said you want to serve God. You rededicated your life to Christ. You said, you know, I'm going to get back on track. You did a 180. You were born again. Your life was different. It's changed. Well, guess what? Don't put yourself back in the ditch when you go home. Right? Keep moving in the right direction. It's a process, this thing we call faith. You may have some bumps, some hills. You may have some trials, some tribulations. You may face some times, but keep moving in the right direction. Keep moving in the right direction. You know, Matthew 7, verse 13 says, "Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Right? Do you hear me tonight, kids? Meaning, what does that scripture tell me? That tells me that just trying to fit in with the mass crowd, be popular in school, or go through and try to be, that tells me that that's the broad path. Right? But if you say, "I'm going to be dedicated, I'm going to be changed, I'm not going to do the things they're doing, but I'm going to be different." Now you're coursing out this life on your own with Jesus at the wheel. Do you hear me, kids? Do you hear me tonight? Romans 12, verse number 2. It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. You know, some of you tonight may need to take back over the steering wheel. Some of you may tonight need to do some evicting on the people that you're around, the people that you put yourself in. Some of you tonight may say, you know what? I'm going to kick out that co-pilot that's having me listen to all that bad music. Right? You guys may be seated, and I'm coming to a close tonight if our music team will come up. You know, it is so easy as young people. I'll wait till they put the chairs up so you guys can listen just for a few more minutes. It's so easy as young people to get your life off course. Do you hear me? It's so easy for young people to get their life off course. Now I'm looking at a generation right now that says, you know, this sermon may be for you in a year or two to keep you on course, right? So you don't get off course. But it's so easy for young people to get off course. And when you get off course, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not saying you can't turn around and turn your life around. But I can give you people and testimonies of people that would plead with you to don't get their life off course. It's so much easier to stay on course. Because once you get your life off course, I'm not saying you can't get back on course, but it's an uphill battle. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in this house. Young kids, it's my heart's cry for you not to get off course. God has created you with a plan and a purpose for your life. He set out that destiny for you. And I want you to come to this altar tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you've gotten off course. And maybe you need to do a 180 tonight. Maybe you're here and you've already done the 180 and you're just trying to dig your way out. God honors that. God honors that. He says, I see those tears. I see those pain. I see the process. I want to tell you, you can get back whatever the enemy has stolen from you. You can get it back with interest. Right, Tony? With interest. Let's come to this altar tonight and let's examine our life to make sure that we're on course. Let's call on His name.